It's Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt.
Well, we just really want to heighten awareness. We want to tell people that there are things that they can do in this financial climate.
From debt to savings to investments.
We could very well see an advance in the stock market when trading gets underway.
We're trying to help Americans take that first step toward gaining control of their financial future.
Keep your wits. The best way to do that is to arm yourself with information.
Now, here's Patrick.
Welcome to Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt. I'm your host, Patrick, and I have a financial planning practice with Ameriprise Financial here in Portland. Whether you're just starting to plan for your goals or you're an experienced investor, the goal of this show is to give you information you can use to make a meaningful impact on your financial plans. And as always, I'm here with our show's producer and radio iconoclast, Rod McLaughlin.
I actually know what that means. For the first time, I know what one of these words you've thrown at me actually means. So it means that I am one who knocks down icons. Is that right?
That's right.
Why do you see me as a rebel?
I think that our roving reporting through exclusive audio speaks to that.
That's very, very true. Okay, I'll buy that. I'm an iconoclast. And also, we have a loaded show today, Patrick, including one of the most serious things anybody can face during their adult life. And in fact, statistically, it's something more and more Americans are facing every year.
That's right. And what that is health care, specifically health care in retirement. And in that spectrum, we're really talking about long-term care, extended health care, chronic care needs that can happen to you as you get older. And Rod, I think the more medical science advances and people are living longer and nutrition is better, all these things are better. But what that means is you have to think differently about health care and retirement and the extent that that cost could create and the impact it can have on your investments.
That's all very true, and it's not what I was referring to at all, Patrick. Actually, I was talking about divorce and the fact that divorce can have a huge financial impact on anybody at any point in your life.
Well, you're right. There is our other topic for today, and that is also a major impact that can happen in your financial situation. We are happy to have Lori Bonnevere on the show today. Lori is a licensed clinical social worker, and specifically, she has a private practice related to custody evaluations for children. So welcome to the show today, Lori.
Thank you.
And also, Lori, obviously, I think child custody can have a huge impact on anybody's finances. And as the rate of divorce increases throughout the country, are you finding that this financial impact on families is significant?
It is significant. And the divorce rate still hovers around 50%. So half of all people that say I do at some point say I don't. And that has a dramatic impact on the entire family system, especially with the finances.
And unfortunately, I think the children often become the cudgel when this thing is going on, right? The kids often become a means of the parents going at each other, and that has a financial impact on everybody.
The higher the conflict, the more financial burden the family will suffer.
All right, Patrick, we'll be addressing that later in the show more with Lori.
Yes, and we're also going to be talking about financial terms today, something that's, I think, important based on the earnings reports that are coming out right now. The definition of top-line growth versus bottom-line growth, what's the difference and why they matter? We're going to be talking about that on the show as well.
Also, exclusive audio, why not to light up a cigarette at a gas station and what happens when a plane backs into a terminal? All coming up shortly on Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt, 971-238-4231 to speak directly to Patrick on these or any other financial issues, 971-238-4231.
Let's talk about health care and retirement. We started discussing this last week, and I think this is one of those unexpected things that can really create a major risk for someone's retirement. You can spend a lot of time preparing for retirement, building an income stream that will last, but what if something happens like health care that completely causes an extensive and long-lasting expense that can draw down your assets?
Now, there are your day-to-day health care expenses as you get older. Obviously, those may become more demanding, but we're also talking about possibly catastrophic health issues or maybe even a death of your spouse or somebody in your family, and you have to cover those expenses.
Absolutely. And when you're thinking about health care, those day-to-day things or those direct medical care issues tend to be fairly muted for most people, because if you are retired, especially if you're already Medicare eligible, then you have insurance coverage that limits your total out-of-pocket risk. So maybe it's expensive for you, but it's not catastrophic. Where you can run into problems is when you need what's called unskilled long-term care services. That would be because of illness or injury or just chronic age, you're unable to perform the activities of daily living, and you need assistance to do that.
And this is pretty incredible to me. There's some huge percentage of Americans who, in old age, will need long-term care. Is that right?
According to the National Clearinghouse for Long-Term Care Information, approximately 70% of Americans can expect to use some form of long-term care at some point in their lifetimes if they reach age 65 or above.
70%. And that long-term care could be in-home care, or possibly you may have to go to a facility.
That's right. And there can be a huge spectrum in cost. According to the Genworth Financial Cost of Care Survey in the Portland metro, cost of care is about $53,000 for home care services and up to about $102,000 for a private room in a nursing home facility.
Either of those numbers could be somebody's entire income or more. So you have to prepare for that. There are certain ways to prepare for that, some better than others. So four different ways possibly to prepare for long-term care. And what are those four ways?
I'd say the four ways you can start dealing with this problem is you can either self-fund, which means using your own investments. You can rely on family. You can look at government programs, or you can purchase some kind of insurance policy that will pass some of that risk on to an insurance company.
Now, because many of us are on limited incomes, or we just don't really foresee long-term care or the expenses involved, I think many, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever way you look at it, are going to immediately lean on the government option. Is that a good or a bad thing?
At the end of the day, the government options are there to provide help for people that really need it. The common misconception, though, is that Medicare pays for long-term care needs. And when we're talking about those unskilled long-term care needs, that would be someone doing homemaker services, helping you get around, that doesn't require a licensed nurse or someone under the direct care of a physician. Those kinds of needs aren't typically covered by Medicare. Instead, these are provided by Medicaid. Medicaid is a state-run system. Each state sponsors their own Medicaid program, but you have to be extremely impoverished to qualify for Medicaid. In general, you have to be down to one home, one car, and about $2,000 liquid.
So you may want to consider some of the other available options when you're planning your long-term care needs in retirement. More on that soon. Plus, Lori will have more on child custody and how that can do a number on your finances if you let it. And Leonardo da Vinci tries out his prototype flying machine. That's all coming up on Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt. News Talk 860 KPAM.
Talk 860 KPAM.
Back to Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt.
Now here's Patrick.
Welcome back to Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt. You may be thinking, if you need long-term care in retirement, Medicare will cover it. But in fact, that might not be the case.
So you can't really rely on the government. 971-238-4231 to speak directly to Patrick Schmidt. 971-238-4231. So failing that, Patrick, how can we better prepare ourselves for long-term care needs and all the other stuff we're going to have to deal with in retirement?
One thing that you can look at doing is, if the government option isn't appealing to you, because it is, it requires a significant drawdown of your assets to qualify for Medicaid, which provides long-term care services, down to about $2,000 in assets is the general rule. That can create a really unappealing situation, especially if you're married and maybe your spouse is still healthy, but you're not. Your spouse may not want to go to complete poverty to qualify for the government programs. So that's when you can look at something like insurance to leverage that money and use an insurance company's money to cover some of the costs.
So I think insurance is a really good other option.
Right. I would agree with that, Rod. And it is important to note there are what are called community spouse rules. If you are married, as I gave in my example, you probably don't need to draw your assets all the way down to $2,000 because there's a minimum of $23,844 or 50% of your resources, whatever is greater, up to a maximum of about $119,000 that you can keep. That being said, as we've talked about on this show many times, if you're planning a long-term retirement plan and you're have a significant withdrawal you plan to take from your investments, $23,000 is not going to do it, and $119,000 is still not going to do it if you're, you know, healthy and have a lot of years of retirement left. So that's why you look at insurance. I'd say there's a few different considerations and types of policies that you can think about as you're thinking about long-term care insurance.
Okay, so first, when should we start considering these policies? Should we consider them younger, like you are? I mean, a guy in his 30s, should you already be thinking about these things?
I would say there could be some merit based on your specific situation if you know you have a chronic issue that's going to create problems later. It has to do with the way the policies are priced and what your overall cost is going to be long term.
I think also you have to look at your family, right? If you have a history of diabetes or maybe other illnesses that develop as you get older, that might be a signal to you that insurance for long-term care should be on your list of things.
It's a good point. And the earlier you start, the lower the cost will be. I find from age 40 to about age 65 tends to be affordable for most people. Once you cross 65, it starts being much more difficult to find a coverage that you can actually afford because it just gets so expensive at those older ages. And also think about compounding. So if you purchase a long-term care benefit that has compounding built into it, you're actually growing that long-term care benefit along with your other assets as you're saving and accumulating money. So that means the policy continues to grow bigger. Also, you can look at what are called hybrid policies, which may meet more than one insurance need for you at once, and therefore you're sort of killing two birds with one stone, getting long-term care but also covering another need such as life insurance. But I would say anytime you're dealing with insurance, there's three factors you should think about. Hmm. These are the three factors: the cost, which means how much premium are you paying, the benefit, how big of a payout or benefit the policy offers, and the conditions and restrictions. And so if you want a low premium policy with a high benefit, there's probably going to be a lot of conditions and restrictions on how you can access that money.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you want a very comprehensive, broad coverage, you're going to have to pay more premiums. So even between hybrid and comprehensive coverage, there is a give and take, and it really is going to depend on what's right for you and your family.
So you do have to consider all those things. And partnership policies, what are those?
Partnership policies are related to that Medicaid issue we were talking about earlier. By the way, if you are thinking about long-term care or want to figure this into your plan and have some questions, you can call us at 971-238-4231. That's 971-238-4231. So partnership policies are programs developed by certain states to help with the cost of long-term care and to motivate people to purchase some kind of long-term care insurance. If you think about it, Medicaid is the biggest payer of long-term care costs in the U.S., and the Medicaid system is not designed to cover everybody's long-term care needs. It's actually designed to provide medical coverage for those that are truly impoverished. So the partnership policies are incentives that the states offer, certain states offer, to incentivize consumers to purchase long-term care insurance.
Okay, that does make sense to me. So there are particular conditions involved in that, though. Why don't we cover those in just a few minutes? 971-238-4231, 971-238-4231. To speak directly to Patrick here on Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt. Patrick, I think it's about time for Date Book. What do you think?
I think that sounds great.
Okay, so we're right in line on that. Here we go. Today is May 2nd, 2015. On this date, in 1892, Manfred von Richthofen was born in the city of Breslau, which was then part of the German Empire. As the Red Baron, von Richthofen shot down a reported 80 enemy planes during World War I before he was killed in action in 1918. We actually have exclusive audio, Patrick, of the Red Baron reporting for one of his missions.
Final boarding for Flight 73 to the skies of England to defeat the wretched enemy.
Yes, finally, I must take to the skies to fight for the honor of the Kaiser and all of Germany.
Wait a minute, folks. Sorry, I've just been informed there has been a last-minute change. This flight has been canceled until further notice.
What? No, this cannot be. I must battle the enemy.
Well, we know the real enemy you need to defeat, Porky.
What? What?
We recommend you try the low-fat, gluten-free salad bar in the lounge.
No.
Oh, wow. What an insult.
Yeah, no kidding. I guess the Red Baron had some issues. On this date in 1536, King Henry VIII charged his second wife, Anne Boleyn, with treason, incest, and adultery. She was executed 2 weeks later. And Leonardo da Vinci died on this date in 1519. We have some audio of Leonardo testing a prototype of one of his flying machines with the help of an assistant. Let's hear that.
Thank you all for coming out for the demonstration today. As you can see, we are at the base of this cliff. At the top of the cliff is my assistant, Luigi, outfitted in my flying machine. Hello, Luigi.
Ciao, Leonardo.
Luigi will now jump from the top of the cliff, and he will fly with the assistance of the machine, at which point we will announce the miracle of man in flight. All right, Luigi, go ahead and jump. Well, instead, I will announce an opening for a new assistant. Bring your own helmet.
That didn't work out well, I guess. Birthdays include a bunch of singers, including Bing Crosby. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, Bing Crosby's recording of White Christmas has sold over 100 million copies worldwide. Leslie Gore, who had a number one hit with It's My Party in 1963, was born on this date in 1946. She was 68 when she died earlier this year.
So I send you to sleep.
And Engelbert Humperdinck was born on this date 79 years ago. He was born with the name Arnold Dorsey. He actually took the name Engelbert Humperdinck from a 19th century German composer. And finally on date book, William Moulton Marston, the psychologist and creator of Wonder Woman, died on this date in 1947. He was 53 years old. Dr. Marston was also one of the inventors of the lie detector. And actually, Patrick, we have exclusive audio of an early test of a prototype lie detector.
Thank you again, sir, for agreeing to this test of the lie detector.
Oh, sure. Glad to help.
And we have you all hooked up to the machine now, and you are comfortable?
Yes, thank you.
All right, then, our first question. So, what is your name?
My name is John.
Liar!
No, really, my name is John.
You're a liar!
Oh, my name is John.
Dirty, stinking liar!
I can't take this.
Yeah, okay, that one's good.
What? No.
Wimp. That's for sure, isn't it?
Wow, they're pretty tough. With the early lie detector. And that's date book for today, May 2nd, 2015. We also have financial phonics. We'll do that shortly, Patrick. But let's get back to, I think, the partnership policies. We were talking about the particular cases in which this would be the best thing to buy in order to ensure your long-term care in retirement.
Absolutely. And this isn't for everybody, but it's a good option for a lot of people because the partnership rules in Oregon allow you to reserve for every dollar you spend from a qualified partnership insurance plan, $1 from your assets as it relates to Medicaid eligibility. So, for example, if you have an account with $50,000 and a qualified partnership plan with a $50,000 benefit, you spend your $50,000 benefit on long-term care, and you could potentially qualify for Medicaid without having to spend down your $50,000 in assets.
So this is kind of a way of taking the best advantage of both programs. You have the Medicaid, and you also have the partnership policy, which you've prepared for yourself.
Exactly. Now, it doesn't automatically make you eligible for Medicaid, but it can be a great option for a couple, especially retiring together, when you want to preserve your assets for the healthy spouse. You can use the partnership coverage to pay for long-term care, and then that spouse can take Medicaid, and the other spouse can still have their assets for retirement.
All right. Divorce, Patrick, it has a massive financial impact on anybody who has to go through that. And, of course, child custody is probably, arguably, the nastiest part of that whole process. We're going to find out more about that in just a few minutes here on Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt.
More Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt.
News Talk 860 KPAM.
Now, here's Patrick.
Welcome back to Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt. Rod, nobody thinks they're going to have to deal with a custody battle, but the reality is many people do, and there's a big financial impact.
We'll have more on that in just a moment. But first, Patrick, I think we need to do financial phonics. And I know you have an interesting one today. So, Patrick, our financial phonics term for May 2nd, 2015 is what?
Today we're going to talk about top-line growth and bottom-line growth, and what does it mean and what's the difference between the two?
Okay, top-line growth means what?
Top-line growth refers to the position of that number on the company's income statement. So top line is at the top of the page of the income statement, and it's referring to a company's gross sales or revenues. Top line growth means, therefore, it's what, how much of an increase there is in the gross sales number.
So those are the numbers I would think most investors are most interested in. Is that right?
That's right. And so if you contrast that with bottom line growth, this is also an important number because this is the company's growth after all expenses, including taxes, have been deducted from the gross revenues.
Hmm.
So the bottom line growth is therefore referring to how much growth has there been in the net profits.
Okay, so that's very important too. So bottom line actually is exactly what it sounds like. This is the bottom line. This is what we've made.
Yes, and at the end of the day, both of these numbers are important because top line growth indicates how effective a company is at generating sales, getting new business, but it doesn't consider the cost. While the bottom line growth shows how efficient the company is at controlling the costs, but doesn't necessarily reflect how much new business or revenue is coming in.
A couple of big net companies just this past week, Patrick, LinkedIn and Twitter both showed bad top line and bottom line growth. Their stocks each went down about 20%, if you can believe that.
And that's where it starts getting concerning when you have both the top line and the bottom line growth decline at the same time. Something that can happen, though, is that at Christmas time, for example, a retailer can offer big discounts to get their sales number up.
Mm-hmm.
But if that eats too much into the profits, they can actually have negative bottom line growth and positive top line growth. So you have to look at both of those numbers when assessing a company.
That's Financial Phonics. On Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt, 971-238-4231, 971-238-4231. Patrick, we have a guest.
Yes, we do. We have Lori Bonnevere in the studio today. Lori is a licensed clinical social worker who holds a master's degree in social work and has a private practice in custody evaluation here in Portland. She's also taught for several years as an adjunct professor for Kaplan University School of Social and Behavioral Sciences. And I think we've been talking about healthcare. That's a big issue that throws people off track for retirement and financial goals. But another unexpected situation, which sounds like happens still about 50% of the time, is divorce and custody issues. So welcome to the show today, Lori.
Thanks, Patrick.
First of all, what is a child custody evaluation?
Right. So a child custody evaluation is intended to assist the court in deciding matters of custody and parenting time when parents are unable to reach a decision on their own. The written report is designed to be an objective, impartial, and thorough assessment of both parents' parenting abilities, their capacity to apply those abilities to their children, and how to divide time for a child between two houses when they previously had one.
I would think these things are most common, Lori, because most parents, when they're divorcing, can't agree on much of anything. So custody issues, even though they may go into it with a sunny, happy disposition, they're eventually going to be arguing over these things. Is that right?
Actually, a lot of parents are able to sit down at the kitchen table or at Starbucks and figure the matters of all the matters of divorce, the financial aspects, the child aspects out. And that is the most economical way for parents to handle that. When there's a higher conflict, in fact, it gets more costly and child evaluations often become the end product.
Now, here I thought the idea behind an amicable divorce was just for the parents to act like adults and to, again, approach things with an adult attitude. But all along, it's been a chai tea latte. If you just had that, you could do things much better. Is that right?
You could. And if you're able to work with one another and have positive communication with one another and figure it out, you can divorce in this area of the country for about $700.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. But still, Patrick, there's going to be a huge financial impact, I would think.
There's a number of impacts when you split a household. Part of it is that regardless of how assets are split in a divorce situation, at the end of the day, it means there's less assets for each person operating a household independently than there would be for two people sharing some of the expenses and operating a household together. That's very interesting, Lori, that it can be as low as $700. And would you say in your experience that when clients will seek advice of attorneys, does that tend to escalate the child custody issues, or doesn't really matter whether you're using an attorney in the situation or not?
I think it depends on the attorney that the parent decides to hire. So there's attorneys who really work more as mediators, and there's attorneys who are kind of more bulldog in their approach, if you will. So it depends on whom the parent hires, really, where you're going to end up.
Interesting. I think that's a good answer. So when should a parent seek a child custody evaluation?
Right. So in my experience, 15 years in this field, I would say there's kind of a systematic approach to how to deal with the situation of divorce between two parents. First things first, you should sit down at your kitchen table and see what you can hammer out. If you're unable to do that, then a mediator would be the next approach. Mediators cost anywhere from $80 to $150 per hour. Split by the two of you, that's a pretty cheap resolution to have a neutral professional helping guide the discussion of how to divide assets and talk about issues of child custody and parenting time. Several sessions with a mediator is recommended, in my opinion, before going to see an evaluator. So an evaluation is really the last step. It's costly, and it really is effective and meant for families where communication has completely broken down between parents. And especially if there's issues of domestic violence that have been present, mental health problems are sometimes a part of what's going on. If there's been child abuse or substance abuse by one or both parents, then the evaluation is very helpful in refocusing and making sure we're really meeting the needs of children.
I would say, too, given the emotions involved in divorce and custody, don't use the phrase hammer out literally. I think Lori was speaking in a figurative sense right there. 971-931 to speak to Patrick Schmidt about these and other issues. 971-238-4231 here on Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt.
So, Lori, we're obviously talking about this from more of a financial perspective today, but from what you just said, it sounds like, as it should be, at the end of the day, the child is what's most important in this discussion, and seeking the best options for the children when, you know, the marriage breaks down or the relationship breaks down is kind of the bottom line goal.
Correct. Right. And so the court is always looking at the best interest of the child. And that's how the ultimate deciding factor of issues of custody and parenting time.
OK, so if you're using, let's say, the discussions around the kitchen table break down, so you end up going to a mediator and maybe you do several sessions with that mediator and then you go to the evaluation. What would you say is the cost benefit for someone who is actually goes through the custody evaluation process as opposed to, you know, neglecting that step?
Right. So if other means of resolving the problems have broken down and you are referred to a custody evaluation, there is a cost benefit to that. At that point, both parents primarily will have an attorney. So and you will have spent probably 6 to 8 months discussing your family situation between the attorneys with mediators before you ever see an evaluator. Evaluations run anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000, and I've seen it higher, depending on the person that you're working with. So that cost, taking the $3,000 to $10,000, we'll just do that range. If you were to proceed to litigation, attorneys charge anywhere from $150 to $400 per hour. Each parent would be paying their attorney, and really we're still looking at the family funds at that point. We're looking at it as one pool of money. So two attorneys at a 1 to 2 day trial is going to cost you $30,000 to $80,000 just for the litigation piece, just for those 2 days of trial. And again, the custody evaluation is anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000.
No wonder those attorneys are wearing Armani all the time. It's all starting to make a little bit more sense now. More on the financial impact of divorce, and in particular, how child custody is involved in all that, plus why it's not a good idea to light up at a gas station. That's all shortly on Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt, News Talk 860, KPAM.
Back to Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt,
News Talk 860, KPAM.
Now, here's Patrick.
Welcome back to Financial Strategies. We're talking with Lori Bonnevere about custody issues and the costs that can happen to a family if you're having to deal with this in court. So if you go to litigation, it could be anywhere from $30,000 to $80,000 in cost for dealing with a child custody issue, but there's even more costs in addition to that, we're going to talk about that in a moment, Rob.
Okay, those are huge numbers to me, Patrick, so I want to talk about that with Lori. But first, time for trivia. And Lori, you get to participate in this. So are you ready over there?
Okay,
she's ready to go. So earlier today, we mentioned that it's the birthday of Manfred von Richthofen, the Red Baron. So our trivia topic today, Patrick and Lori, is going to be great combat aviators. I know, Lori, you're really an expert on this. So let's go ahead and give this a shot. There's some controversy involved, but Canadian pilot Arthur Roy Brown, Lori, is credited by the Royal Air Force with doing what? Did he fly the first solo transatlantic flight 2 years before Charles Lindbergh? Did he fly the first biplane into combat? Did he shoot down the Red Baron? And remember, he was Canadian, so did he wrestle a moose while in flight? Which of those was it, Lori?
Well, I think he wrestled the moose.
You thought he wrestled the moose. Well, Lori?
Darn.
No. Patrick, did he fly the first biplane into combat? Did he do the first solo transatlantic flight? Or did he shoot down the Red Baron?
I'm going to say... biplane.
Actually, he shot down the Red Baron. Some historians say it was Australian ground artillery that really killed the Red Baron. So like I said, there was some controversy. Patrick, with 26 aerial victories, what pilot holds the title of most successful American flyer of World War II? Was it Eddie Rickenbacker, Chuck Yeager, Pappy Boyington, or Junior Joystick? Which of those was it, Patrick?
Let's say Chuck Yeager.
Lori, was it Eddie Rickenbacker, Pappy Boyington, or Junior Joystick?
Junior Joystick's just fun to say, so I think that was
dark. Eddie Rickenbacker.
Lori.
Among many other achievements, Eddie Rickenbacker served as CEO of Eastern Airlines for a number of years, and he scripted a newspaper comic strip for 5 years, beginning in 1935. Lori, what American pilot distinguished himself by winning his wings and becoming a certified Navy aviator at the age of 18? Lori, was it Chuck Yeager, Pappy Boyington, Eddie Rickenbacker, or George H.W. Bush? Which of those was it?
Let's go with George Bush.
During World War II, future President Bush flew 58 combat missions and was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross, among other citations. All right, Patrick, the final question. The Red Baron is credited with shooting down 80 enemy flyers. However, Erich Hartmann, a German pilot known as the Black Devil, shot down many more. How many enemy flyers is the Black Devil credited with having defeated? Was it 102, 152, 202, or 352?
Wow. Let's say 352.
Well done. Erich Hartmann survived the war and died at age 71 of natural causes in 1993.
That's amazing. 352.
The number's in dispute, but that's generally accepted. 971-238-4231. That's our trivia for today. 971-238-4231 to speak to Patrick Schmidt here on Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt. And we're back to our guest, Patrick.
Yes, we have Lori Bonnevere in the studio today. We're talking about child custody evaluations and what you need to know if this is something happening to you. So, Lori, before the break, we talked about how taking the step of getting a child custody evaluation could be somewhere between $3,000 and $8,000, which seems like a big price tag until you consider the alternative, which is going to litigation and spending $30,000 to $80,000 on average. Would you say then that the benefit, the objective of the custody evaluation is to avoid that litigation?
Right. So in my practice, one of the first things I tell parents is that, we're all a team here. So it's really refocusing moms and dads on the business of their children and sort of disengaging the emotionality of divorce from one another. And the ultimate goal of the evaluation, which I spend approximately 30 to 40 hours with each family, is to avoid litigation, to get us all on the same page where good decisions about custody and parenting time are made on behalf of little people.
The financial impact is also very large as well. So that $30,000 to $80,000 would be the trial. That would be the litigation, right? But there are other costs involved as well.
There are. So at the point that an evaluation would occur in my office, the family has generally had attorneys on board, have been to mediation, have been sending letters back and forth and trying to negotiate a settlement for anywhere from 4 to 10 months up to a year before they've seen me. That cost of the attorney's time, $150 to $400 an hour, is adding up for both parents.
Wow, that really ends up being a significant price tag. And this isn't money that's getting split or divided. This is just money lost in the divorce process, which could be avoided using a mediation and custody evaluation approach, if that makes sense.
It does.
So, Lori, how do people get started?
Right. So for if you end up needing a custody evaluation again because you've tried other and exhausted other means of talking with one another, you've tried mediation or some of those other components are present like domestic violence, mental health, child abuse or substance abuse, to get a child custody evaluation going, that only happens by order of the court. The court will appoint a professional in the community to work with the family. And so either the attorney will file a motion with the court, or if you are representing yourself because you can no longer afford your attorney, you as a pro se litigant would need to file a motion with the court.
Filing a motion with the court is the first step. And this was great information on the air today. And obviously, if you're listening today and this affects you, you can give us a call, 971-238-4231. That's 971-238-4231. Lori, there's obviously a lot more to this and resources about this issue. This is not a simple issue to deal with as a family. So what are those resources that people can use to get more information?
Right. I think one of the best resources available to everyone is on the internet. It's the Oregon Judicial Department website, which is ojd.state.or.us. On that website, you can find your way to the family law section, where you will find all the forms you need to divorce with children. And again, that would be about the $700 cost if you can do that at the kitchen table. Everything is there. There's also the child support financial calculator, the same calculator that the court would use, that you can plug in all your own numbers. And there's also a really great section about different and various parenting time plans for how to move children between two houses.
ojd.state.or.us. You can call us as well, 971-238-4231. If you're dealing with a child custody issue, that's the website, the state resource, where you can get more information. Lori, this was excellent information today. I think it's time we hear some exclusive audio, Rob.
Okay, we can do that very quickly, Patrick. Here we have these stories. A woman in Jerusalem was arrested after allegedly setting fire to a gas pump at a filling station. Surveillance video obtained by Israeli police shows the woman talking to a man as he put gas into his car. The woman apparently became angered when the man declined to give her a cigarette.
When he refused, she pulled out a lighter and ignited gas fumes coming from the nozzle. She and that driver ran for cover as the car exploded in flames. Gas station employees put out the fire, and police eventually caught up with the woman.
Now, as is often the case, there's a little bit more to this. Apparently, this guy was hitting on the woman. It wasn't just that he didn't have a cigarette for her. That's why she became upset. So we have exclusive audio. Here's what it sounded like when the woman lit up the gas station.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Hey, y'all got a cigarette?
No. I suppose this means a drink is out of the question.
What do you think?
Wow.
Yikes. You know, I don't smoke, but I feel like I should carry cigarettes just to avoid this incident happening to
word
me.
Word to the wise right there. Also, this story, a regional flight for Delta Airlines was delayed at Detroit Metro Airport when the pilot backed the plane into the terminal building.
While Delta says who caused today's accident is still under investigation, the mistake likely lies with either the flight crew or the ground crew.
It was just not having enough talent on the scene to watch out for the things that are around the aircraft.
The incident occurred shortly after noon as the Endeavor Air Flight 3443 prepared to depart. The flight was operating as Delta Connection, a Delta Connection from Detroit to Chicago O'Hare. No one was hurt. However, we have exclusive audio. We have the pilot talking to the folks in the cabin when the crash occurred.
Hello, folks. This is your pilot. We are now taxiing toward the runway. Enjoy your flight. Now, is this one backward or forward? You can't get this straight. Well, while we figure this one out, folks, you feel free to step over that small pile of rubble there and enjoy 30 more minutes of happy hour at the airport lounge. Should say the newly air-conditioned airport lounge.
Now that's making lemonade out of lemons, I would think. That's exclusive audio today on Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt.
Thank you again for all of your exclusive audio and contributions. Big thanks to our guest today, Lori Bonnevere. Thanks for being on the show, sharing some great information about child custody issues. Remember, you can always call our off-air number with any questions at 971-238-4231. That's 971-238-4231. Also, join us next Saturday at noon and Sunday at 5 on AM 860 for more information on strategies and techniques that can help you plan for your future. This has been Financial Strategies with Patrick Schmidt. We'll leave you with the words of Benjamin Franklin. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail.
We'll see you next week. 971-238-4231. News Talk 860, KPAM.